Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Let's go!
This is the South Florida High School Sports Show with your host Larry Bluestein on 560 WQAM.
And we're back for hour number two on a Monday evening, taking you up until 8 o'clock. It's Stanley Cup hockey coming right with you. The Blues and the Bruins, great series, 2-1 right now. Bruins looking pretty good, but the Blues kind of narrowing the gap. University of Miami Sports Medicine Institute, now at Lennar Foundation Medical Center in Coral Gables. Recover your game. Visit uhealthsportsmedicine.com. As we said, up until 8 o'clock this evening, around 7:45 or so, Coach Efren Banda from the University of Miami join us, talk about some of the camps coming up, and they have some really good ones. The youth camps, they'll have some for the women to teach them a little bit about the game. We'll talk to Coach Banda about 7:45. Or Coach, we could call him Ernest Jones. He's the athletic director, former player, former coach, obviously. He's one on the ground floor of bringing back football to Florida Memorial University. We'll have him on around 7:30 or so. Coach Mike Manasco from Miami Palmetto, one of the top 8A teams in the state. He'll join us at 7:20, but we start off our second hour with an old friend who if you look around draft time in the NFL, Ken Mastroli's always with those quarterbacks, giving them, you know, the edge with years of experience in it. And locally, he has done a tremendous job with a lot of the coaches, and teaching them some things to teach their kids. And we have, I think, the upgrade at the quarterback position is significant. And Kenny is kind enough to join us to start things off in the 7 o'clock hour. Ken, thanks so much for taking the time.
Hey Larry, thanks. Thanks for having me on the show.
Anytime. I know this is this is the off season, but for you, it's really never an off season because during the year you're watching and evaluating the kids, you're teaching them as well, and then when you have draft time comes on, you have an opportunity to work with some of the kids. I know the kid Nick Fitzgerald out of Mississippi State. You had an opportunity to work with him as well as some of the other kids. The kid out of Penn State as well, who is a tremendous athlete. Talk about that. I mean, getting the opportunity to work with these kids, as they get ready for the NFL draft, as opposed to getting ready to work with 7 and 8 year olds to get them ready just, for a career path.
Yeah, it's cool. You're getting to the age now where I've got some guys that I work with in high school, and now they're playing in the NFL, which is kind of a cool, cool experience and tells you how old you're getting. But I think it kind of benefits not only the program and what I'm doing, but it also helps the kids that I'm around for South Florida. I mean, the things that we can teach. So this year I was on the road for 15 days and I went from everywhere from Penn State to Oregon to Washington State to Mississippi State, Ole Miss. And you're at all these different schools and you're talking to coaches and they kind of see your face constantly. So I get to talk recruiting. I get to talk like football fundamentals, and there's a lot of information. I mean, this year I sat in with Mike Leach. He let me sit in the quarterback meetings and just kind of talk shop, as well as with the Oregon staff, and just kind of talk to their quarterback, who, highly regarded guy. But the great part is I bring all that information back down to South Florida, and I just try to share it with the quarterbacks, whether it be in the meeting rooms, what people are looking for. Obviously, Larry, we're in the time of year where we're kind of moving on from 7-on-7, and we're getting into the college camps and the showcases and things like that. So I think it's beneficial just to give the kids like those kind of nuggets to like work with when they go to these college camps, not only how well you're going to throw the ball, and fundamentals and mechanics, but like what ultimately these coaches are looking for when they're going to select one guy in their class for the next year. And they're looking at the 220 class, the 221 class, and even looking at some of these upcoming like freshmen and sophomore that are going in. So it's really good stuff. And obviously I've enjoyed it, but it's, you transition quick from the NFL to the college to the high school guys.
And getting people's attention locally, especially Miami Dolphin fans, you had an opportunity to, from the very beginning, to work with Jake Rudock, who had an awesome career at St. Thomas, moved to Iowa, then Michigan, and now he's on a Dolphins roster with an opportunity to compete. Talk about his maturity, because there's one guy who is a very intelligent classroom kid, as well as being a superb learner and an excellent physical guy on the football field.
Yeah, I mean, it's really cool. I mean, for all the like the young quarterbacks and the parents out there, I mean, I've seen these guys that have kind of come up through the ranks, right? You're just young. Sometimes you're just not, you know, developed fully. I mean, Jake came out, he was a scrawny kid going into his junior year. Ended up, people said he's not a Division I player, and then has a great 2 years at St. Thomas, really set some records, does some really great things, and then obviously gets a shot at the next level. And then it's kind of cool how to see him get drafted. I mean, went into the NFL draft at 199 pounds and wasn't even invited to the NFL Combine. Ends up getting drafted sixth round, spends 3 years with Detroit, and now he's on a, you know, his childhood kind of dream team. So I would tell, like, a lot of people, you just never know where you're going to end up, and the way you see kids just kind of mature and grow. So all we can do really as coaches, I think, from high school coaches to teachers and people, is just try to mentor the kids, just develop a passion for the game and teach them the best you can, and hopefully they'll enjoy it. You know, there's so much talent down here in South Florida. You guys do an incredible job of covering it. There's a lot of other guys that are really coming on that are doing a great job of, you know, helping to expose kids and teaching them. And I just think, you know, everybody knows South Florida is just football. I mean, people can't wait till football comes around the corner. I know I'm excited for it. I know probably everybody else is, are counting down the days.
Yeah, no doubt. Ken Mastroli joining us, Ken Mastroli's Passing Academy. But here's the thing, too. You take a look at the position itself. I mean, it's never been the glamour position in South Florida, especially. I mean, we've had our kids. You know, you've had the Bridgewaters and a few others. But from a, you know, from a standpoint of being just a hotbed factory, we've never been that. Is there an indication now with some of these newer, the younger kids, as you mentioned, maybe the freshmen, the sophomores, some of the kids that are rising juniors, that we're changing the way of in that way? Because, you know, I see a lot of them, you know, you look at a couple of the kids at your alma mater, Cardinal Gibbons, and I mean, the, you know, not the prototypical size for a Brody Palhage, but that mentality, that winner's mentality. I know they said that about Doug Flutie. Oh, he's never going to have the size, but you take a look at that. As long as you have an aptitude for the position, some skill level, and a mind for it, I mean, you could excel.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. I mean, it's funny. I was sitting up at Washington State with a coach by the name of Dave Nichols, and he's a receivers coach. And there's a lot of good coaches down here in South Florida that are getting into positions and teaching these kids. But he told me, you know, Coach DeBuck at Cardinal Gibbons, and I'm not biased because it's
no
alma mater, but he said that guy gets quarterbacks ready as good as anybody in terms of a mental game. I mean, quarterbacks are stepping in. I had Gardner Minshew from Washington State come down and sit with the quarterbacks and talk shop because they both run the air raid offense. And he said, Ken, Gardner said, these kids are sharp. They know what the X's and O's way better than I did. And I think that holds true for a lot of these other coaching staffs around the county. A lot of guys that I talk to, they get into, like, you know, they've done a great job, and I don't think they get recognized enough for it. But I'm seeing what these quarterbacks are coming to the board. I mean, these kids, like, just being around some of these kids. I mean, the Nick Biotos, the, you know, Travis Marsh, those kind of quarterbacks. I mean, they're really kind of, like, coming into their own, and they're college ready, you know, going into, like, junior, senior year. You can name so many of them, but I think the youth coaches as well that I'm finding do a great job. I mean, some of the kids that I get up into the sessions and we do the X's and O's, I mean, there's a lot of guys I can't name. But in the youth session, they've done such an excellent job of just teaching these kids kind of a lot of the basic stuff for, like, Larry, just identifying, like, little things in defense, little things in coverage, and then the nuances of the game. That's the thing that affects kids, is that they get into some of these, and you put your best athlete at the position. But a lot of these guys are really teaching these guys and doing a really good job at the youth level on getting these kids ready for the high school level, so they step right in and they're ready to compete day one freshman year, push for the job.
And you also have an opportunity to not just, you know, work with those 6'5", 250, 240-pound quarterbacks that are classic drop-back passers, but you've had a chance to work with some very athletic quarterbacks. And that for you, you know, is something that, you know, you've kind of predicated your career on, being versatile. Not only the drop-back kids, but guys who are going to be more spread, guys that can run and use their legs to their advantage. Talk about that, too, because a lot of the, you know, there's some kids out there listening now that may be that 5'10", 5'11", type kid that uses his brain and uses his wheels as well as the arm.
Oh, yeah. I mean, one of my favorite kids of all time. I mean, he's like my little brother. I say he's like my little brother, but I love Tyler Huntley.
Right.
I mean, not because he's a dynamic player and he's had some injuries, but, like, I couldn't say enough good things about the kid. Just an awesome player, just an awesome kid, like, you know, and just comes from a great family. But, like, the thing about Tyler was he was undersized, you know, coming out of high school. Skinny kid. People were like, ah, he's not good enough to play D1. He's too fragile. But he's a super dynamic player. I mean, if he stays healthy, you know, he's a game breaker. And you're seeing that. Like, I mean, look at Cato.
Yes.
From
Cato Nelson.
Guys. I mean, look at like what he's doing with Akron. Just kind of the little things, you know, that these guys are coming on board and doing such a great job. And I think those guys aren't getting enough credit for some of your quote unquote pocket passers, dual threat guys in South Florida, where people say, oh, they run the spread, but you get them in college. The one thing you can't take away from a lot of these kids is they have been in the toughest environment. Some of the things with the Florida Express, the Florida Fire, I mean, all the different strong arm, all these different 7-on-7 teams, and how competitive South Florida sports has been with all these coaches. I mean, these guys go to college, and some of them might be a little behind on X's and O's, but they are not afraid to step up and compete. I mean, I was talking to Nick Scalzo yesterday going to Kentucky, working with him a little bit. I mean, he's humble now, but, you know, off the injury, but he can't wait to get in there. And he's like, bring on the competition. I want to just go compete. You know, and you like that. You want a kid who's edgy. You want a kid that's willing to step in. He doesn't care about the size and all that other stuff. He's like, I want to go in there and learn and compete from day one, and I'm going to push. And I like that, you know, the attitude of not like, hey, I think I want a red shirt my first year. No, I want to go in and compete my butt off. And I think that a lot of credit goes to the environment that these kids are in here in South Florida.
Yeah, and I agree. And you kind of combine not only that world, but having like somebody like an icon like Tommy House in last year to work on mechanics, and, you know, because he was a pitcher and his, you know, he's a dynamic guy when it comes to the mechanics of just using your entire body. Things like that go a long way in helping the overall process. And I think that's awesome as well. Kenny, again, thanks so much for stopping by. I appreciate always when you bring that wisdom, and a lot of the guys that you've worked with, the kids are listening, their parents are always listening, and we appreciate that.
No doubt, Larry. Thanks for everything, and we're getting fired up here in a couple more months.
Yep.
We'll be in thick of season here.
Good stuff. Ken Mastroli from Mastroli Passing Academy, kind enough to join us this evening. Big show up until 8 o'clock. Don't forget, we have hockey for you. Stanley Cup, Bruins and the Blues coming up at 8 o'clock. When we come back, it'll be Coach Mike Manasco of Miami Palmetto and Ernest Jones, the athletic director at Florida Memorial University.
This is the South Florida High School Sports Show with your host, Larry Bluestein, on 560 WQAM.
Back with you up until 8 o'clock this evening. Don't forget, SouthFloridaHighSchoolSports.com is our website. We're social media friendly everywhere. Follow us 365 days a year, and we will bring it strong for you. The Centene South Florida High School Sports Show is cared for by University of Miami Sports Medicine Institute. Recover your game. Visit uhealthsportsmedicine.com. Thanks so much to Ken Mastroli from Mastroli Passing Academy for opening up our 7 o'clock hour as we talk about some of the high school football going on during the summer, and there's a lot. And one of the programs that left the spring in pretty darn good shape as far as what they accomplished. A lot of the hype has gone in the direction with Miami Palmetto. Coach Mike Manasco has done a outstanding job at his alma mater since returning. He's got the right pieces in place, and certainly now it's just time to work, and that's what he'll do, and he's kind enough to join us this evening. Coach, thanks so much for taking the time.
Thanks for having me on, Blue.
Anytime. You come out of spring looking pretty good. You have a really two nice halves of football up in Palm Beach against two teams that had a little pushback in Rockledge and Palm Beach Lakes, something that, you know, you love to have. You love to have that competition because it's going to test your program to the max and give you a true indication of what you have to work for. What'd you think about spring, and as you head into the summer, what are the things that you believe need to be worked on to get to that level where you believe you should be?
You know, coming out of last season, I think that loss to Columbus in the second round really turned our program around a little bit. I've never had the kids work as hard as they've worked in the off season. Coming into spring, we definitely wanted to play an opponent or opponents that obviously were were high caliber, and I think we found that in heading up to Palm Beach Lakes and playing Rockledge and Palm Beach Lakes, both two well-coached teams with a lot of really quality players. It was good, man. We got to evaluate a lot of kids. You know, our playmakers made plays, and, you know, we were able to see some things from those other teams that, you know, maybe we weren't prepared for. So that was good to get a little adversity between series to try to come up as coaches and change some things. And I think our players responded real well. You know, we're really excited. We came out really healthy. Obviously, the things to work on, I mean, we're still pretty young, believe it or not. You know, we really only play about five seniors.
Wow.
For next year. Yeah. But we're blessed, Blue, with some really talented kids, man, that work really, really hard. And, you know, they're the right culture. And, you know, they've decided on their own pretty much that you know, they don't want to go out like we went out last year. You know, they want a fighting chance. And we're super excited, man. We finished the spring, I would say, on a good note as far as, you know, health-wise, and then also, you know, being able to win, you know, just winning it. And I don't care if you win by one or you win by 30, you know, winning is something that, you know, people undervalue a little bit, you know, because, I mean, the kids that know how to do it, they do it time and time again. And it was good to come out of there with two wins and, you know, no matter how we looked or how we played, but it was good to see that.
Yeah, I mean, and like you said, on the other end were some pretty good athletes, too. You know, Palm Beach Lakes had some pretty good kids, and certainly Coach Younger has some kids at Rockledge, you know, who bring it. And certainly they're in competition, you know, to get the state at the 5A level. You take a look at 8A, and it's never going to be easy no matter what. I mean, as long as you have a Columbus and as long as you have a South Dade and a Western and a Deerfield and teams like that. But you come out of this year looking a lot better as far as depth-wise, leadership-wise, than you did at this time last year.
No, definitely. Both those teams I thought were outstanding, you know, and for us to come in there and play the way we played, and, you know, we were able to play a lot of kids. I mean, we played pretty much our entire roster, which was good because there were some kids that I definitely wanted to see, get an evaluation on, and I wanted to see, you know, what they could do. You know, we're breaking in some new quarterbacks. I mean, both those quarterbacks were freshmen, so they'll be sophomores next year. So, you know, losing a kid like Kyrie Crackley is tough, man.
Yes.
You know, that young man was the best quarterback I've ever been a part of. That was tough. But, you know, being able to get our entire offensive line back and have them, you know, another year a little bit, you know, stronger and a little bit more experience is going to be a huge thing moving forward for us, because those, I think, were the biggest two question marks. Replacing a guy like Kyrie Crackley, and then our offensive line, you know, stepping up and being, because defensively, I feel like we're really in a good spot to play with anybody. You know, we kind of got some guys on all phases of defense, and we have good depth there as well.
Mike Benasco, the head coach at Palmetto, joining us. And, you know, also the way that you get better is challenge yourself with a schedule. And this year you certainly jumped up with quite a few contests. You have defending 5A state champion Cardinal Gibbons. You have, you know, obviously the programs that you play every year in South Florida is never an easy task. Talk about that, too, because I think that's extremely important, because you see a lot of schools that may go 9-2 or 10-1, but they've gotten there with a fluffy schedule, so when their backs are up against the wall against a quality team, they may not be able to react. That's not going to be the case this year. Last year you had Naples. You beat them the last 2 years, probably the only South Florida team that's beaten them over there in a long time.
No, I agree. You know what? I think we're starting to get that reputation that we will play. You know what I mean? We're not going to duck from anybody. You have to play that schedule now with the point system and the way the playoffs are set up, and it kind of hurt us a little bit with the rescheduling, because, you know, we're a school that's a very well-respected academic school, and,
right,
you know, our population is at its top, so we stayed in 8A, where a lot of teams moved. Really, you're right, it's us, it's South Dade, it's Columbus, Western, Deerfield, you know, those are five really, really good teams that managed to stay in 8A, but we're still going to play Southridge, Killian, Homestead. You know, those are the teams that if you're know anything about the South and Palmetto football, and those are the ones you got to beat. I mean, we're 27-6 the last 3 years, Blue, and 27-2 versus anybody not named Southridge. So that's a huge, you know what I mean? A huge thing we've got to get past, and we'll never not play Southridge. I mean, that's, to me, growing up in this county and growing up in the South, I mean, the Palmetto Killians, Palmetto Southridge, you know, Palmetto South Dade, Palmetto Homestead. Those are matchups you want to see year in and year out. And we're, as long as I'm the head coach, we're going to maintain those.
I mean, and you take a look at this summer. Now you head into the summer. Are some of the kids going to be going around to different campuses? What's the plans for the summer?
Yeah, we'll find a way in the next couple of weeks to see Clemson and Alabama and Auburn and Florida, Florida State, Georgia, South Carolina, LSU. We're going to get around. You know, we're blessed to have the kind of kids that those programs are looking for. So, you know, we got to kind of get them on those campuses. Obviously, still Miami, FIU, FAU, they've done a great job recruiting our kids as well. So, you know, we're definitely going to spread out and see some things. You know, because I really feel like that's our job to make sure these kids are educated on, you know, what those best choices are.
Yeah, and when your kids see kids at Miami or at FIU, you know, some of your younger kids, that gives them something to shoot for. I mean, hey, I played with that guy last year, and look at where he is now. You have kids all over the place, and it's really going to pick up because you have a lot of tremendous prospects, a lot of young kids, as you mentioned. But you have some seniors who are going to get some notice this year as well. These seniors, you know, that you have with, you know, coming up and some young junior kids that are going to take the leadership. That's what's fun, because I think your younger players, because they've been in a position since they were freshmen and sophomores, they're getting a leadership role here as a junior.
Yeah, no, that 2021 class that we have at Palmetto is very, very special, and I think everybody in the county kind of has started to see that. 2020, Kentron Portier, the receiver, he is an unbelievable kid, unbelievable basketball talent as well. Robert Hanna, 2020 defensive back, big-time player. And David Ely, I know you saw him, 22, the linebacker.
Yes.
He is a big-time kid that's going to get a lot of stuff moving forward with great academics. But the 2021s, I mean, you got Corey Collier, Jason Marshall, Bashard Smith, Leonard Taylor, Derek Edwards, you know, Ralph Williams, who didn't play in the spring, who'll be back. Just a bunch of guys that are really, really good football players that have played on varsity for, this will be their third season, you know, so they're really ready to make that leadership turn, you know, because culture to us is really, really big, and I think it's time for those kids, not just with their play, but with the way that they do things, the way they handle their business, the way they handle their academics. Those are the things that need to change, need to be vocalized so that the younger guys can start to see that, because these kids have been in the program now coming up on 3 years.
Good stuff. Coach, again, thanks so much for taking the time to join us. The best of luck this summer. I know we'll run into each other quite often, and thank you again.
No, it's always a pleasure, Blue, and I got to give a shout-out to my athletic director, Steve Batten. It's his birthday today.
Happy birthday.
A big part of what we're doing. Really
good
appreciate
stuff.
It, Blue.
Anytime. Coach Mike Manasco from Miami Palmetto certainly setting the table, getting this 8A season. It's going to be very exciting, and we're all looking forward to it. Speaking about looking forward, I was going over 1970. We had six college football playing universities in Florida and two club teams. Well, in 2 years, we will have 21, thanks to one of the newest, Florida Memorial, which had football back in the day. But certainly coming back, Ernest Jones, who's been around football for a long, long time and is the AD at Florida Memorial, joins us this evening. Coach, thanks so much for taking the time.
Larry, I sure appreciate you guys having us, giving Florida Memorial opportunity to be on your radio broadcast.
This is exciting. I mean, you know, I mean, all of a sudden, a year ago at this time, we were looking at some of the other schools, and now come 2020, we're going to have two schools in Miami Gardens, two colleges, and Florida Memorial, which had football back in the day, is coming back. I mean, you guys have to be just elated, excited, because the alumni base throughout the years, and you know the talent down here as well.
Larry, it's a new day. It's truly a new day here at Florida Memorial. We're here to rebirth this program. We're calling it the rebirth of the Lions pride and tradition. And we are very excited. Our alumni is excited. We have a press conference set for 4 p.m. tomorrow. We think it's going to be standing room only. To bring South Florida to the best, to bring football to South Florida, the best state city area location to play college football is in South Florida. It doesn't get any better than that, Larry.
No, I agree. Ernest, the other thing, too, is your background. You've played this game at a high level. You've coached. You've been around it. So from the standpoint of building a program, you're the guy. I know you have other sports and great sports at the school, but you're the guy for the ground floor because you have an idea what it's going to take, not only from a playing standpoint, but from an organization standpoint, from what it's going to take for coaching. Talk about that, because it's not just roll out the footballs and play.
Absolutely. 20-plus years of coaching at a high level, 15-plus years doing it on a major stage. I mean, I have to admit that I was with Brian Kelly, 10 years under Brian Kelly, 3 programs, Central Michigan University, University of Cincinnati, and University of Notre Dame. I learned from one of the best in the business, Bob Diaco, Jeff Quinn. I mean, we can go down the list. There are a number of people who've taught me how to coach this game, how to play in this game. Got an opportunity to work with the Jacksonville Jaguars, the Houston Texans, and the Buffalo Bills. So I understand what it takes to get football going, what type of players we need, what type of coaches we need, how to concentrate on the fundamentals, how to build a staff, how to build a team, how to recruit. All of the things that I've learned in my 20 years I think are going to be very, very valuable to Florida Memorial University. I'm excited about the opportunity.
And because of the fact that you have built-in opponents throughout the state. I mean, which is great. I mean, from a finance, you obviously have to look at the finances and things like that, which are very important. But the opportunity to have a St. Thomas University, a Kaiser, an Ave Maria, schools like that within an hour of each other, 45 minutes at the most in some cases, that's got to really be beneficial for you because you get to keep a lot of the kids at home, which we know is a gold mine, especially in South Florida. But you have the chance for these parents and fans to travel, you know, where they would, you know, going to Georgia or Wisconsin is kind of tough financially, but within an hour you have 4 colleges and then you move up the line and you got Weber and those schools like that. Talk about that, because I think that's extremely important in building a foundation of a program.
Oh, Larry, I couldn't be more excited about being a member of the Sun Conference. Our commissioner will actually be here at our press conference tomorrow. But to be in this Sun Conference where they compete nationally in almost every single sport that we have, and to be able to get in this conference, because, again, travel budgets matter. So I'll be able to go to 4 to 6 games, and it won't hit our travel budget. The furthest we have to go is Savannah, Georgia, within this conference. And then we will be attracted, and people will be attracted to us to play some of these classic games. Well, if we're going to play the classic games, there'll be a little revenue being generated between those games. So we're excited about that. We think when they see the venue that we're going to play at, teams will be very surprised. We'll have one of the top venues in college football at this level when people come and see our home surface and where we're going to be playing. So the Sun Conference is definitely an attraction. It was one of the reasons why I chose to come here as the athletic director. I think we'll be able to make a little bit of noise in this conference.
No doubt. Ernest Jones, athletic director of Florida Memorial, joining us. And you know what? You take a look at the timetable. So what will be your timetable getting ready, and when do you expect to be on that football field competing?
All right. We're going to start enrollment processes now. We're hoping to get some athletes in summer B session. But ultimately, we want them here in the fall of 19. So what they're going to do is come in the fall. I'm going to name a head football coach in the fall, and then we're going to begin workouts in the weight room and on the field, on the grass, trying to get them trained and conditioned. And then what we're going to do is go into the spring, and in the spring we're going to bring in assistant coaches. They'll come in here in the spring, and then we'll begin to do some more extensive workouts in the spring in preparation for some type of spring game, go play against someone who will play us a game here in the spring, and then we'll go into our inaugural camp in August, come next summer, August, and then we'll be ready to put a team on the field in fall of 2020, playing our first football game here in Miami Gardens. What we will not do is accept the first game on the road somewhere. We're going to find a team that will come to South Florida and play us in our first game fall of 2020.
Nice. And so, Coach, you'll hire the head coach in the fall this year, and then they'll set the groundwork. Now, because of your extensive, I mean, you must have a billion people in mind at this point. Obviously, you know, it's a long way off. But when you name that head coach, and then you guys all sit down for the following spring and then assemble a coaching staff?
Yes, sir. Let me just tell you this, Larry, and I'm telling it to you as straight as I can. I believe in transparency and candidacy. You'd be very surprised at the people who've reached out to me because they know me. I have 20 years in the industry.
Right.
I have assistant coaches from Division I schools, major Division I schools, saying that they would love to come here and
nice.
Be the first coach of this team. There are a bunch of local coaches all throughout. There's been at least 50 coaches that have reached out to me. 20 of them, prominent coaches, names that you would know. We're going to have a football coach that everybody will be excited about to lead our program in fall of 2020.
Wow, you got me really excited. I know a lot of, like you said, a lot of local coaches down here as well have been talking about it. You know, I mean, the high school coaches, and they're excited because when they get an additional opportunity to have their kids locally where they can come out on a Saturday and watch them play, you know, rather than having to go all the way up to Gainesville or wherever, what a great thing that is, too, because we have so much talent. I mean, you could have 10,000 teams down here, really. I mean, there are just so much talent. So that's got to be a plus, too, your alumni being able to take part in it and build towards that opening game, as you said. That's a big plus. I know your administration, we'll have your president on in the coming months, and we'll talk to them about, you know, what they're doing as well. I know, Ernest, that this is an exciting time for Florida Memorial. It's an exciting time for you, and I'm so happy that you came on with us and gave us the opportunity to kind of get on the ground floor with you.
Yes, sir, Larry. I sure appreciate it. We just appreciate the opportunity that you're giving us to just get on the air. You're the best in the business. So for you to call and say you want us on the air, that's a no-brainer. That was a positive and a plus for us. I would love for, you know, any of these high school coaches out there, we would love for some of these prominent guys to reach out and say, hey, they want to come here. I may surprise some people. Don't just think because I've been doing it for 20 years, I have a guy handpicked. We're going to pick the most electric guy that can come here and move this program to where we want to be. Whether he be in high school, he be in college, he be in the NFL, we're going to pick the most electric, fantastic kid, guy, coach that's going to impact the lives of these young people and help us move this program. I've gotten the okay from the administration. They're going to give us what we need. There won't be too many no's in what we need and what we're looking for. This will be one of the most attractive NAIA jobs in the country. I promise you that.
Good stuff. Ernest Jones, Athletic Director, Florida Memorial. Thanks so much for taking the time. And hope everything goes well tomorrow in your press conference. Everybody will be watching, believe me.
Yes, sir. Larry, thanks again. Anytime you need us, just call us.
Okay, Ernest. Ernest Jones, pumped up, Florida Memorial. I love it. We are finally getting some pretty decent football down here, and I love it because our kids have been going away far too long. When we come back, we wrap things up. Coach Efren Banda from the University of Miami.
This is the South Florida High School Sports Show with your host, Larry Bluestein, on 560 WQAM.
Back to wrap things up for a quick moving Monday. What a tremendous show with you this evening. What a great guest list. Thanks so much to Coach Mike Manasco from Miami Palmetto and also to Athletic Director from Florida Memorial, a very exuberant Ernest Jones. He's excited about it as well. The Centene South Florida High School Sports Show is cared for by University of Miami Sports Medicine Institute. Recover your game. Visit uhealthsportsmedicine.com. Don't forget, 8 o'clock, we have Stanley Cup hockey with you. It's the Blues and the Bruins, but right now we turn our attention back to football camps. That's what's going on, and there's a lot going on, especially at the University of Miami, and we're so excited to have Coach Efren Banda join us this evening. Coach, thanks so much for taking the time, and I know that the camp season, the youth football camps are exciting, and a lot of the people are excited about it. What a great schedule you have this summer.
You know what? It has been. And listening to your show today, it sounds like there's going to be a lot of great things happening in South Florida. It's going to be fun.
Yeah. Well, you know what I said? When I first started doing this lots of years ago, there was only six football programs in the state of Florida and two club programs. And as of 2020, we'll have 21.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
And you know as well as I do, Coach, because of the fact that we have so much talent. I mean, they got to go someplace, and you'd much rather them come and stay in state rather than having to go to all these other places. But you guys are in that mode now where a lot of things are happening at the U as far as the camps. You have the youth football coaches' clinics, the women's clinic. You have so much coming on, that Paradise Camp, which we had talked about in the past. Talk about what we got coming up, because I know the thing that has really been very important, I guess, just in this regime alone is taking care of what the youth is all about and visiting a lot of their parks. And you have planned out quite a strategy in going north, south. You went up in the Palm Beaches, in the North Dade County, down the south. Talk about that, because I think that's important. Most people are just looking for the high school kids. You like that, but you also want to look at the root of where they all begin, too.
No question, and that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to provide a youth opportunity, a camp for our youth as well. The biggest thing we're trying to do in our youth development program is to make sure that we preserve and help grow the game. What we're going to be doing is we actually start this Wednesday. Our first free youth camp for anyone that's in eighth grade or younger is going to be up in Palm Beach. So we're going to be at the Parks of Palm Beaches, okay? And that'll start registration, I think 8, if I'm not mistaken. And we're going to be doing a free youth camp. We've contacted all the youth programs in the area, reached out to them, invited them to bring their kids out. And we're really looking forward to starting off really our first camp with the satellite camp up to Palm Beach. It's going to be a really good time. Then after that, on Thursday, we got our kicking camp on campus. Friday is really a big day. We want to make sure people understand it. On Fridays, we're going to have our open camps, like anyone that's basically in high school, especially the young kids, if they get an opportunity, they're in town or someone's traveling through, that's the camp to really hit. That'll be Friday. Saturday, we start off, which you know about this, our 7-on-7 camp.
Yes.
Start on Saturday. That'll be registration, I think, at 7 or 8 o'clock. We'll be started on the field by 9. We'll be done by 4. That'll be Saturday. We'll have all the local high school programs in on Saturday and Sunday with those two 7-on-7 camps. But Saturday night, you mentioned it, is our women's clinic. It's our first annual women's clinic. It's going to be really cool. So all the guys out there listening to the radio show, you got someone at home right now, beautiful woman. You may even have, a really big-time Kane daughter out there. She's 18 years old or older. Bring her out. It's going to be a great night. We're going to have an ACC ref there to kind of just really, as one of our keynote speakers, we're going to meet and greet the coaches, private tours. We even have, from what I've told, we have some really good prizes, some gift baskets, $1,000 worth or more for all the women, and just give them a really good experience. We understand there's a lot of Kane women out there that love this program, and if you're interested or thinking about a gift or really want to do something special for that wife or for your daughter, your aunt, your grandmother, whoever, look up the women's clinic. That'll be this Saturday evening.
And what was the idea behind that? Obviously, you want to get the kids, the women involved in it and make sure that they know all the little things that while they're watching with the men at home. What was behind that?
Coach Diaz's idea, he's done it before in the past, and really this game has grown. I mean, it's just not just men watching the game. This game is generating. When you come to our games, you see all the crazy fans, the passionate people, and you see a lot of women out there. And we want to give them the same opportunity to come out and enjoy it, learn about the game. Maybe they're sitting there with their husband or their boyfriend or whatever, and they want to learn a little bit more about the game. We're going to give that opportunity to them to teach them a little bit more, go more in depth than just sitting there, and just trying to watch it on television. But just give, and also give them the experience of coming into the facility, seeing what a day-to-day work, schedule looks like for our players and even us as a staff.
Another thing that was very important too, and I know that Coach Diaz has been behind, he loves to get every area when it comes to recruiting. And I know this spring, you guys hit basically every school from I-4 down. That's amazing. I mean, and everybody saw you, and you know how this day and age is. Wherever you pop up at a school, someone wants to take your photo. Well, Miami pretty much was had the most exposure. You guys were everywhere from the Fort Myers to Orlando, Fort Pierce. Mm-hmm. Talk about that, because I think that's important too. Just, because some people think, oh, all they do is recruit Dade and Broward, but that's not it.
Mm-mm. No. You're right. And Coach Diaz's was basically told us. He said, "I want to hit every single school south of I-4. I want to be in every school. I don't care if it's a prep, you know, if it's a 1A or, you know, it doesn't matter. If the school's in your area, he wants us there." So what we did was, we actually, every coach from the I-4 area the south went to every single school that there was there. We actually even changed a little bit of our recruiting the way we did it. We're putting more of an emphasis on Orlando, more of an emphasis on Tampa, putting more coaches in those areas, and essentially doing what we did in South Florida in terms of our model and taking it into the other parts of the state, especially in that, you know, that very famous corridor.
Yeah, no doubt. Obviously, everybody talks about, you know, because the last couple of years, Coach Rick got everybody excited with that Paradise Camp. And, you know, I mean, everybody has their signature camp with Miami, with Florida having Friday Night Lights and all these other programs. People are waiting on dates and stuff like that. Talk about that as well, too. I know that's exciting, you know, because, you know, people like that. I mean, you know, you can understand. You were a kid once and you were excited about things like that. That excites people.
Absolutely. And, you know, you've been so good to us over the years. We wanted to make sure that we gave, you know, you the premier date, and this is kind of the first official announcement of this date. Paradise Camp will be June 22nd.
Okay.
There'll be more information coming out, but it'll be June 22nd. The biggest reason why we decided to move it from July to June is because that allows our as you guys know, Paradise Camp's all about the former players coming back and coaching these young men. That's an experience that no one can give, other than Mike Rump, really, you know, a previous player. In terms of just someone you looked up to over the years and just, you know, you got the chance to watch and learn from. But what we're doing, the biggest reason we decided to move it was it allows us to get a lot of our current NFL roster players on campus to teach our kids, the ones that they know a lot of or around a lot of in their most recent years. So most of those times, and we had in July, those players, and be coaches for that day, they couldn't make it because they're in OTAs, they're in training camps, et cetera. So we moved it to June, which will allow you'll see a lot of new freshman faces. Obviously, we're going to have a lot of the big heavy hitters, the Hall of Famers, those guys would be there. But we really wanted to include a lot of the more current guys as well. So it'll be a great night, June 22nd. Obviously, that's going to fill up fast. It's a premier camp. It's one of those camps that if you're a first-timer, I maybe not recommend, but if you're a big-time guy and you feel like this is for you, then this is the camp to go to.
Yeah, no, I mean, and like I said, everybody likes it. Everybody has found, you know, that it is. I mean, they rub elbows with all the Ed Reeds and everybody like that. That's exciting as well. We're certainly excited for that. And the main thing that I'm interested in is, you know, I want to get to see a lot of the youth kids, and I want to see how they respond. We'll be at Ives Park for your night one coming up in, I think, next week or the week after. And
Yep, that'll be Wednesday, the following Wednesday. So every Wednesday we're doing a free youth camp somewhere. And like I said, we're starting Palm Beach. The following Wednesday will be Plantation Powell in the morning. That's the doubleheader. So the June 12th is the doubleheader. Plantation Powell, and then in the evening, Isaac State, which I'd love to have you there, Larry, if you could come out. That'd be great. And then the following Wednesday will actually be we'll be hitting Dade, and we're going down to Florida City. And be down in South Dade County, and that'll be a morning one as well.
Good stuff. Well, Coach, as always, thanks so much for filling up the roster of things to do during the summer. Everybody's going to be excited. We'll make it out, you know, do a couple of things, you know, as much as we can. But definitely on June 22nd, we'll be there, and we'll be there for your youth stuff as well. And thanks so much for taking the time. I know you guys are busy, and we'll see you soon.
Yeah, one thing I did forget.
Go.
I'm sorry.
What'd you forget?
I want to make sure I hit this. Is we're providing a free youth coaches clinic. Okay, this is very important. It's our first annual free youth coaches clinic. And what it's going to be doing is this is going to be on June 9th on the evening. So that's upcoming Sunday. Any youth football coach that's in the area that can make it, we're going to be hosting a free youth clinic. And all we're going to be doing is focusing on the fundamentals of the game. No scheme. The fundamentals of the game to just really help all the youth coaches as they train these young guys up and just give them some things that they can take back to the park. So June 9th, that evening, will be our first free youth coaches clinic that's focused on fundamentals. But again, I thank you for your time.
Anytime.
Everything you do for us, brother.
Good stuff. Coach Efren Banda drops. What a great show. Good 2 hours. It went fast. Started with Jake Elman, Wesley Frater, Coach Steve Davis, Coach Butch Davis, Ken Mastroli, Coach Mike Manasco, Florida Memorial AD Ernest Jones, and Coach Efren Banda. We are back with you next Monday. 8 to 10 will be our summer era hours. Thanks so much, Hector. Hockey is coming up. Big one. The Stanley Cup Game 4.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.